further ado, we know this speaker coming up. He is a young person, Fidel, who has done sermons before, and he has grown. We've seen him all grown up in the church, and he has become a young, but not only from a youth to a young person, and we praise God for all that he has done. And the sermon of his title is called Don't Lose Your Crown. So the next voice that you will hear will be that of Fidel Daniel. Amen.
Happy Sabbath, everybody. Let's pray.
Thank you, Father God, for this wonderful and blessed Sabbath day today, Lord. Thank you so much that everyone is here and that we're all here at your church, Lord. We pray for your Holy Spirit at this time, Lord, and that you may be with us at this moment. Thank you, Lord, for everything.
So, in this important topic of crowns, I'm going to be taking you through three characters, two of which is in the Bible, and that have a huge significance to what Jesus was saying. So the first question I want to ask is, what does this crown represent to you?
Royalty, righteousness.
Righteousness. Anyone else?
Power.
The crown that God talks about means everlasting righteousness, everlasting victory, and perseverance. As we see in James 1:12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that loves him." So this great crown that Jesus talks about, right, is what our eternal life is representing. Through the struggles and trials of our life, this is a crown that's promised. That's why Jesus warns us in Revelation 3:11. "I'm coming soon. Hold on to that you have, so that no one will take your crown." How can we lose our crown? By our sin and not being careful. Especially in the final days now. So the first character I want to talk about is King Solomon, who I'm going to be labeling the Compromise King. In the beginning of Solomon's life, we can call him the man that had everything, right? In 2 Chronicles 9:22-23, it says, "Thus the King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God has put in his mind." So we can see a man who has unmatched wisdom, favor with God, power, wealth. In response to God's glory, Solomon dedicated a temple to him. And in 2 Chronicles 6:4, it says, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who made a commitment to my father David, and this personally fulfilled what he had promised when he had said." This man full of righteousness and favor with God, who built Solomon's temple. This man who was filled with wisdom. This man who sought after God's character, had his favor. One of the most powerful rulers in all of Jerusalem. How did a man so righteous and wise fall from God's grace? How can someone so blessed and gifted by God lose his crown? He compromised. In 1 Kings 11, verse 1, we read, King Solomon loved many foreign women in addition to Pharaoh's daughter. He loved Hittite women and women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, and Sidon. They came from the nations about which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, never intermarry with them. They will surely tempt you to follow their gods. But Solomon was obsessed with their love. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 wives who were concubines. In his old age, his wives tempted him to follow other gods. He was no longer committed to the Lord, his God, as his father David had been. He compromised. It wasn't this big sin that all of a sudden David lost his crown. It was one at a time. That's how Satan works, right? Slowly by slowly, inch by inch, giving us more and more. From Conflict and Courage, page 92, I liked how Ellen G. White put it. She said, Solomon flattered himself that his wisdom and the power of his example would leave his wives from idolatry to the worship of the true God, and also that the alliances thus formed would draw the nations about the close touch of Israel. Vain hope. Solomon's mistake in regarding himself as strong enough to resist the influence of heathen associates was fatal. And fatal, too, the deception that led him to hope that notwithstanding a disregard of God's law on his part, others might be able to lead to revere and obey his sacred precepts. Solomon had pride in his wisdom. He didn't sought the warning of God not to take foreign women. He didn't listen to God's words. Instead, he compromised. He wanted to do it his way. He thought this was a good thing in his life. He thought that he could make it through. In 1 Kings 11:11, therefore the Lord says to Solomon, because you have done this, and I have kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear away the kingdom from you and give it to your servant. Solomon lost his crown. From the glorious king that he was, the wisest man on earth, to a lost crown, to a lost eternal life. What happens when we compromise our relationship with God and allow sin to take over our life? What happens when we allow Satan to closely come every single day, minute by minute? What happens when we are not dedicating our whole life to God? The man who once spoke with God now sat in silence. The king who had written about wisdom now lived in regret. The man who had favor of heaven was now a shadow of his former self. He chased pleasure instead of righteousness. The enemy doesn't need to destroy your crown. He only needs you to distract it from protecting it. Solomon got pulled away from God's grace. And doesn't that make you think how important it is for us, especially being in the last days, to stay in God's presence, to not let Satan get a hold of our crown? Solomon was lost. This is what happens when you lose your crown. This is what happens when you decide to compromise. You decide to fall in love with the world rather than God's grace. That brings me to my second character, King David, whom many of you know his story and his grave sin. But I want to particularly talk about his redemption and relate that to us. Similar to Solomon, David was a king who had favor and a deep relationship with God. In 1 Chronicles 14-17, it says, so David's fame spread throughout every land, and the Lord made all the nations fear him. So similar to Solomon, we have a guy who has favor with God again, who has a relationship with God, who has a deep personal connection with God, and has his own crown. But then when we read about David's fall, he committed murder, adultery, deception, we begin to see how sin began to take over his life, similar to Solomon, how through compromises, pride, and wanting to follow his way, he allowed sin to come into his life, and his crown was slowly being snatched away. But what was the difference between David and Solomon? True repentance. How did David respond to his transgression against law? In Psalm 51, 1-2, we read, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from all my sin." This is how we get our crown back, and this is how we stand planted in God. We all make mistakes. We all sin. We all are never perfect. But it's one thing to say that as an excuse and to keep going, and it's another thing to repent, to change for the better. This is what it means to repent. David had committed grave sin against God, but he changed his ways. He stepped in a new path and pledged his whole life to God again. This is how we can get back on track for our eternal life. This brings me to my third character. Does anyone have guesses for who it is? Yeah. Sorry that the character looks so scary. I asked AI to make it like a mysterious type of character, but you know. Yeah. This represents your crown. Where are you standing today with your life with God? Where are you standing with your walk? Are you holding tight onto your crown? Are you compromising your relationship with God like Solomon? Or are you repenting from your sin before God, like David? Are you protecting your crown? Are you shielding it from Satan's grasp? How do we protect our crown in the last days? Stand firm throughout the trials of your life. Dedicate your whole life to God. Know your Bible. Don't compromise your faith. Guard yourself against deception. Pray without ceasing. We all have been entrusted a crown to us by Jesus Christ, and this is how we protect it. The enemy has so much ways to distract us through social media, through the world, through our own struggles. And every single day, he's trying to pull us further and further, kind of like tug of war, where one side is slightly stronger, slightly winning inch by inch. That's what Satan tries to do to us every single day. Slowly trying to take our crown that Jesus had promised us. This is why Jesus says we have a responsibility to protect it. Stand firm. Dedicate yourself. Know your Bible. A choice for your eternal life. Which side are you going to be on? Which side is your crown? This is your eternal choice that every one of us has to make throughout our life. Are we going to choose God or are we going to compromise? Are we going to choose love or pride? Are we going to choose sin or are we going to deny ourselves? This is the choice that God gives us every single day. Who does your crown belong to? Who are you dedicating yourself every single day to? Who really has your crown? Is it Satan? Is it God? Is it money? Is it your work? Who's taking hold of your life? Jesus' warnings apply to us directly today. Solomon had lost his crown. David almost lost his crown. But still, you have a crown on your head. Hold fast never lose it. Heaven is waiting for you. A heavenly crown is waiting for us all in heaven. Although there's so much temptations for us in our world today, there's so much things pulling us apart from God, just know that Jesus is always with us, and you'll always be by our side. We can never do any of these things alone. It's so easy to say, hold on to your crown and don't compromise. But each day by day, we are all struggling with our own spiritual battle, whether it's financial struggle or personal losses or personal relationships. We all struggle in our life. That is why give your whole heart and life to God, because He knows you. He can save you, and He loves you, and He's willing to help you. If it was only us holding on to our crown, we will let it go so much times. But God is there to pick it back up. God is there to help you hold it tight. God is there to help you, to shield you from Satan's attacks, and to protect you. This is what's in store for us. Jesus is calling us, especially in these last days, to stand firm. Each one of us has a heavenly responsibility. Your eternal life is waiting. Your eternal crown is waiting for you. Thank you. Dear Lord, help us to hold on to our crown. For you said hold tight, Lord. But you know we can't do it. Please help us, Lord, and be with us. Thank you so much for your promises, Lord. Thank you so much for your promise of you coming back, Lord. Help us to stand firm, especially in these last days, Lord. Thank you so much for everything you've done in our lives. Help us to not let go of our crown, to not compromise, Lord, but to love you always and to always run towards you, Father God. Thank you so much for everything you've done for us. Thank you so much for your Sabbath day, Lord. Please be with us all. Amen.
At this time, could we all please exit the sanctuary in an orderly fashion? And downstairs, we have a vegetarian potluck.